What's it all for?
Various artists.
The Tongue to Them is the latest exhibition at Artspace Aotearoa, bringing together the works of Darcel Apulu, Martha Atienza, Heidi Brickle, Buck Nin and Yi Lan. Together, the artists contemplate collectivity and language as tools for resistance through their respective visual mediums and languages from across Aotearoa, Malaysia and the Philippines that they bring into Artspace Aotearoa's space. I had a kōrero with Kairohi, curator of Artspace Aotearoa, Robbie Hancock, about this exhibition and the ideas that bind these artists and their practices together. Here is our interview now. The Tongue to Them takes its name from a poem by Filipino nationalist and writer Jose Rizal, My Mother Tongue. Tell me a bit more about this choice of title and how Rizal in this poem speaks to the kaupapa of this exhibition currently on at Artspace Aotearoa.
Oh, good first question. Yeah, Jose Rizal is considered a national hero in the Philippines. And in the Philippines, and I think this exists across certain other Asian nations as well, the idea of a national hero is almost a formal kind of title. Like there's recognition in a way that is more formal than how we might use that word here at Aotearoa. So Jose Rizal is considered to be instrumental in the Philippine Revolution, not actively, but in inspiring it. So in his writing, in his language, in his research and work, really influenced the Philippine resistance, which was against the Spanish colonial government of the time. And so, interestingly, Philippines Independence Day recognizes Philippines' independence from Spain, but that isn't when Philippines gained nationhood and state independence, because it was then under the U.S. government, and it didn't receive its actual independence until the 1940s, but collectively as a nation, the 1890s independence from Spain is what is recognized. In terms of the title, the poem itself is quite a like almost cheesy poem about pride in your mother tongue. And that particular excerpt or that particular grouping of words, the tongue to them, I felt it had a nice poetry in itself, but it's also sort of ambiguous. The tongue to them is also can sort of speak to conversing with someone else, speaking to another, but it also sounds a bit like a front. I don't know, it's like pulling the fingers somehow. It also sounds a bit like that. So I kind of liked a bit of that. It's not quite a double entendre, but a dual sense of meaning, if that makes sense.
No, totally, it does. I see what you mean. This exhibition is bringing together five artists from Aotearoa, Malaysia and the Philippines. To kind of get into talking about the works, would you like to firstly briefly introduce each artist and their work that is being exhibited in this show?
Yes, as briefly as I can. Yi Lan's works in this exhibition really formed an anchor for me that where the other works and artists really built around it. So Yi Lan is a Malaysian artist with a historically primarily lens and video practice, but in the last 5 to 10 years she's been working with communities weaving communities. So these the works in here are called Tika Meja. It's a suite of mats, all each depicting a table. Each mat is woven by the Baja Dalat people, who are the knowledge holders of this particular mat. And for Ilan, the table stands in as a symbol of the administrative violence of colonization. When she talks about the table and these particular works, she talks about administration being as much, if not more, violent than physical violence. So, for instance, if we think of treaties or map making or education, these are all systems that demarcate where people are and tell people who they are. And so it's this, she calls it sort of like a rock, paper, scissors game where the table is on a mat and the mat is conversely open source, community led, and often women led as well. So by having these tables on the mat can roll up the table and eat it. Second, we have So Apelu, the work in the exhibition, is Ingress Egress. So she has taken the form of Waharoa, which is the gateway or entrance down in Apau Marae, and has sort of inverted that sense of thoroughfare. So it becomes a bit more of a blockade. It becomes a bit like a monument in itself. So, yeah, playing on an idea of welcome. Heidi Brickell, we have in the exhibition. She comes from an education background, really steeped in material revitalization. She has a painting and a sculpture practice. In this exhibition, we have three sculptures that form a reference to a whakatoki that I can't remember off the top of my head, but translates to die like a shark, lest you die like a squid. So there's forms here that are referencing both the squid and the shark. We have Martha Atienza from the Philippines, two video works playing back-to-back in the gallery called Anito 1 and Anito 2. They are both filming a local festival on Bantayan Island where she lives. And in the festival, it's this kind of spontaneous, like, frenzied street parade in which villagers, locals, will impromptu dress up and parade down the street. And what happens is they're often referring to or responding to particular current events that are relevant at the time. So you'll see glimpses of costumes relating to particular significant typhoons that have happened around the time. And one in particular, or Anito 2 in particular, responds quite explicitly to President Duterte's war on drugs during 2017 and his raids and his presidency at that time. And then lastly, we've got Bucknin, who is a really significant Māori artist and significant force in Māori arts education. So as part of this exhibition, we have one of his lithograph prints on site, but we have also one of his paintings considered part of the exhibition but remains off-site at its home in Te Aumutu at the head offices of Te Wānanga o Aotearoa, which is an institution that he was quite integral to helping them set up tertiary status.
You mentioned there that Yi Lan's work was kind of your starting point for putting together this exhibition. But can you speak to how you kind of went from there and went about selecting the other four artists for this show?
Yeah, so there's quite a few connections between the works, and there's quite a few connecting relationships, I think, that have come up by chance through working through this exhibition. I mean, one thing with Ilan's works with the tables that I was thinking through. So, you know, I've used the Austronesian language family as a sort of small ring fence to try and hold, as a basket to hold these practices together, to sort of ask that question of what conversations can be had when you share a mother tongue or when you share a root tongue. The table in all these languages represented in this exhibition retains its foreigner status. So Tika Meja, the title of the work, Meja. Tika is the Malay word for mat. Meja comes from the Portuguese word for table. In Tagalog, it's mesa, which is the Spanish word for table. And in Te Reo Māori, it is tepu, which is a transliteration of table. Yeah, I mean, I guess the other connection between the artists is that sense of collectivity. So the behind-the-scenes work, I think, that happens in these arts practices was of interest to me. So in terms of Ilan, she works quite a bit in Malaysia with governance and sort of these structural realms of power. With Martha, she has an NGO on the island where she lives that advocates for her village and in particular, I think, the fishermen on her village for sustainable environmental practices in response to tourism or local government imperatives. And then the other three artists, Heidi, Darcel and Buck, are also all educators. And so that sort of that formalizing of collectivity, I think, was quite interesting to me as a background commonality between them as well. In terms of other reasons for this, I mean, I guess I was interested to bring artists into the exhibition that haven't shown at Art Space before. And I think that's true except for Dasal, who did some early chopping performances in the old art space when it was upstairs.
You've kind of weaved through in your answer there these ideas that are connecting the artists together and the works together, and I guess to add to that, each work articulates these experiences of colonization, particularly in relation to Artspace Aotearoa's annual question, is language large enough? Are you able to speak more on how this underlying kaupapa that binds these artists together responds to Artspace's annual question?
Yeah, I guess I've used it quite literally in selecting and in using a language family as a ring fence to think about conversation between artworks and artists. And I think in terms of the articulation of experience, I mean, I think maybe the difference is I didn't want the show to be about colonization. I wanted it to be about how these artists communicate with the world. I think one thing that was interesting, that's a particular of the Austronesian language family, is that most versions of this language will have a distinct we, or at least two versions of the word we, a listener inclusive and a listener exclusive. So in English, we can't differentiate between, when I say we, does that mean you as well, or does that mean us without you, kind of thing. Whereas we have different words for that in a lot of Austronesian languages, which can clarify what collective we're speaking about quite quickly. And I think that mode of identification, I think, is active in various parts of these works. Who is the we? Who is the listener included? And who is the listener excluded? Which I think makes for an interesting way that they interact with each other and how audiences might interact with it.
For sure. I really like that that conversation around this idea of we. I find that really interesting because I've picked that up with other languages as well, and it's interesting to compare and contrast.
I think as well, I mean, this is sort of one other example, you know, like Austronesian language families will often have a different U's, right? So a U for one, a U for two, a U for three or more, which is something that English doesn't have. But I feel like in sort of our, you know, Kiwi vernacular, that's something that a lot of us will say U's as a plural U. And it's a funny sort of compensation, I think, or trying to put back in a function to a language that has lost that, or that the impulse of the person is to clarify and to use what tools or you know, play with grammar in a way to sort of make it make sense conceptually rather than grammatically is maybe one of those impulses. But interestingly, you used to be plural and the was the singular you. And during Shakespearean time, that switched for some reason and you became singular. That does not need to be included in anything, but I thought that was an interesting little
No, it is interesting. Did you ever study linguistics?
No, I didn't. I think, you know, growing up, I grew up between Australia, the Philippines, and Aotearoa. And I think when you're a bilingual child, a lot of those, maybe just when you're sort of bilingual anyway, you become a lot more aware of the mechanics of different languages. So that's always been something of interest to me. We have an amazing set of poems as part of our reading room that sits alongside this exhibition by Gregory Kahn. It's a selection of five poems that's available to read on our website, or we have printouts physically in the gallery. But they're taken from his two previous collections of poetry, Under Glass and Clay Eaters. And I think what sort of there's interesting relationships between these works and the exhibition as well, in terms of Greg sort of, you know, having, I think, some in his most recent book, there's some more literal references to his time in the army. And in that book, there's also a really interesting table that has created of overlaps between Malay words and Te Reo words as well.
That was Kairohi, curator of Artspace Aotearoa, Robbie Hancock, speaking to me about their latest exhibition, The Tongue to Them. The show is on now until the 4th of October.